Hooray!
Huzzah!
It's once more time for nonsense!
Woo! Woo! Nonsense! Woo!
Sister, I have a story.
I just wanted to see if you'd stay crouching or not before I introduce myself. And hello, I'm Sister Babushka.
And I, Sister Alaskalot.
And this is Utter Nonsense.
This is the show where we pour a nice hot cup of tea.
And utter whatever nonsense pops into our heads.
And we'd release a brand new video once a month, every month on the first of the month, along with shorter videos every week in between.
Brava, intro done.
Cover the bases now, right?
Yep, all bases covered.
Nice.
Well, Iva, it's nice to see you've joined us for the day.
Nice to see you. To see you. Yeah, all right.
Joan, do you want to say hi to your sister at all, or no? Okay. Where did she go? Iva! After this shit is done, I've got a story for you.
That's the most threatening story I've ever heard.
Story's not even been told yet.
Sister Iva is joining us today because we are going to tell a story.
What an exciting time it is to have our resident storyteller join us for story time. From the heavens she descends. Praise be to Iva. Oh, Iva, the blessed has come at last. Are you feeling quite okay, Alaska? You seem overcome with joy that Iva's here.
I mean, every day with Iva is a joyful day. We so rarely let her out of the scriptorium.
I'm sure she's enjoying the fresh air and the change of scenery today.
Indeed. And thank you, Iva, for bringing us today's story. But for now, back you go. Back down, down. On with the story.
We got what we wanted here. Now she's gone. So, a story time, you say, Alaska? Oh, I can't wait to go through a tale of intrigue, mystery, seduction, and other hijinks.
And that's because today we're delving into the captivating tale that is the life of Hortense Mancini.
Mancini? I hardly knew her. This 17th century woman lived a whirlwind life of glamour, glitter, and scandal.
And she was a queer icon.
And a nun.
Oh my. From bedding kings to dueling her lovers, the life of Hortense Mancini was, to be blunt, insane.
Well then, let's dive straight into the weird and wonderfully true story of harebrained Hortense.
Yay!
Woo!
Born into nobility in 1646 Rome, her mother was a great beauty. And her father, an aristocrat, who practiced black magic, specializing in astrology and necromancy.
Now, hold on a goddamn second, because as far as I know, yes, I'll accept necromancy can be part of the dark arts because, the dead. But I draw the line at including astrology in the black magics.
It is the darkest of magics.
I suppose it does happen at night, doesn't it? So,
Exactly.
okay, objection withdrawn, Your Honor. Meanwhile, her uncle was a cardinal. Cardinal Mazarin, who essentially became the co-ruler of France alongside the Queen during the regency of Anne, but not Sister Anne. That's a completely different story.
She reigns in her own way. After her father's untimely death, despite his unusual skill set, her newly widowed mother decided to move the family to Paris, where they could benefit from the influence of her brother, the cardinal.
I was totally unprepared for you to just jab the knife into the father there. Oh,
so it's a necromancy and couldn't fucking like raise himself from the dead. Clearly not that skilled.
I mean, it does feel like something you'd maybe plan ahead for as a necromancer. You kind of know the end game to deal with.
Yeah, like get your affairs in order, write a will, plan for your ultimate rebirth as a member of the undead. The usual.
Well, this shows why he was not very good at his job. Once they arrived in France, the four or five Mancini sisters took the streets of Paris by storm. We'll round the difference and say it's four and a half sisters. They were basically the 17th century Kardashians. They were olive-skinned, beautiful, and very scandalous.
And they sound basically identical. They even had their own name, the Mazarinettes. That's some top 17th century branding right there. Kris Jenner would be proud.
Did not think we'd be talking Kardashians this episode. Charles II, eventually to become King of England, proposed marriage to Hortense when she was, 13 years old. It was a different time, to be fair. People died a lot younger, so you lived a lot younger. Yeah, well, okay.
Die young, live fast. No, that's the wrong way around. Scare necromancer. You gotta live fast, die young. No, you don't have to.
You know, if you're getting married at 13, you're expecting to be divorced by 20 with two kids anyway, so it's fine. But Charles II was still in exile at the time, and so the cardinal, he said, hell to the no.
Instead, a year later, she was married off to the richest man in Europe, Armand Charles de la Porte, Duke de la Meilleraye.
Sorry, I was just waiting. Is there more to that name, or is that just it?
Is that not enough? You couldn't afford any more name. It was long enough.
Paying by the letter.
You are when it comes to your tombstone.
you see, Armand was also a necromancer, so he was never going to need that tombstone. How did we get so far into necromancy?
Just wait to see how long he survives through this story. Just you wait.
Well, he keeps coming back after he dies, right? Armand was granted the title of Duc de Mazarin, making Hortense the Duchess de Mazarin. And after her uncle's death, under no suspicious circumstances, he gained access to his wife's mahusif inheritance.
It's like watching Jeff Bezos get even richer, which all sounds great for Hortense, of course, until you realise that the richest man in Europe was the literal worst.
Well, you're right about that, Alaska. He was a religious nut who took zealous dickery to a whole new level. And after this promising start to their marriage, his behaviour started becoming rather odd.
For example, he forbade the milkmaids from actually milking. You see, he feared that the very sight of them doing their job and milking the cows could pose the threat of starting some kind of dairy-based sexual riot.
Little did he know that it would only be a few centuries later where milking was a term used on Pornhub quite a lot.
He was just ahead of his time.
He knew about those damn fetishists long before they came on the scene.
He was just tired of people going up to his milkmaids and saying, got milk?
I saw how you handed those udders there.
Oh, utterly delightful.
Oh, that was utterly terrible.
Moving on.
Oh my god, the sexual lust riot of the milking has begun.
Oh my!
Wow, milkmaids, milking cows. Who would have thought that would have been the thing today? He also worried so much about the lustful and sinful power of smiling that he ordered all his female servants' front teeth knocked out. I'm laughing at that. To prevent them from attracting the attention of any passing man, as any reasonable person would do. Instead of just saying, don't smile, it's, I'll just take those teeth out, sir.
I think it's clear that this guy was just a little bit unhinged.
Better not be smiling, Alaska.
He also went to great lengths to censor his own art collection, painting over all the dirty bits and causing irreparable damage in the process, simply because he was too genteel for genitals.
Oh, how many classical pieces of art have just been ruined by this man's hatred of a phallus?
I wonder if it was, if he was saying something about his own there.
It's like a fun fucking house to live in, doesn't it? You can't get fresh milk, you're missing your teeth if you work there, and, oh, the art's been ruined.
Someone just doodling over the top. We're gonna paint over the privates, and we're gonna put some spectacles on him, to, you know, because he's got no testicles, we've got spectacles. And a little curly moustache.
God, he'd be horrified at, like, school books in the 21st century, covered in dicks and tits. And perhaps, unsurprisingly, he also forbade his wife from keeping company with other men and would conduct midnight searches for hidden lovers. Suffice to say, he was more than a little unstable and untrusting.
Funnily enough, I think he was worrying about the wrong thing. You see, 15-year-old Hortense quickly realised that he was a monumental bellend. And so, soon into her marriage, she did start seeing someone else.
But not the male rival that Armand feared, but another young woman. Sidonie de Quesselle, Armand was shocked when he found out. Oh, the immorality.
And so, he did the most obvious thing. He packed the two girls off to a convent. That'll teach them.
Now, I'm sure we've played this scenario out before, Alaska, with certain nun stories in the past.
They never learn, do they?
Yep, that's right. He sent them far, far away. Together, this man is a genius.
Obviously, the girls continued their affair and they weren't overly fussed about their punishment. They had a grand time playing pranks on the nuns. They spiked the holy water with ink. They flooded the nuns' beds. And they even tried to escape through the chimney.
It was basically St. Trinian's, but with more sex and some very pissed off nuns. Actually, how has that not been made into a film yet?
I would legit watch that.
Coming to a cinema near you in 2025.
I think we've spotted a gap in the market. We should do it. Oh, actually, that would be quite funny. But anyway, let's not go down that rabbit hole just now. Soon, the nuns had had enough, and they sent the pair packing back to Arce Armand.
Ooh, good alliteration.
Thanks.
The affair eventually did fizzle out, but Hortense still thought that Armand was a complete and utter plonker.
Thankfully, after multiple attempts, including a bona fide attempt to divorce him, she eventually escaped the marriage, and it was spectacular.
Picture it. 17th century France. It's a stormy night, shall we say. And there you go. She rode out of the gates on horseback, dressed as a man, and quickly fled France for the safety of her sister Marie's home in Rome. A move so unheard of that her antics even spawned magazines devoted to the topic.
Genuinely, because she actually left her children behind as well. She just legged out of there.
Wow.
She was like, fuck this life. This ain't it. Ultimately, she did return to France, where her former lovers, Louis XIV and the Duke of Savoy, announced that she was now under their protection. And with a nice pension from the king, she moved into the household of the presumably delighted Duke.
Sadly, however, the Duke died soon after. No mysterious circumstances, don't worry, people. And his wife promptly kicked her to the curb.
Oh dear, how unfortunate. But remember our pal Armand? Well, he certainly remembers Hortense. In fact, he has been obsessively pursuing her this entire time. And at this particular point in our story, he successfully screwed her over once again by having her assets frozen, which included her stipend from the king.
Oh, now we've got financial abuse coming into it. How great.
Isn't he a swell guy?
Oh, he had hoped that the lack of funds would force her to return to him and his also appealing scenario at home. But instead, she made a bid to escape him once more. Hortense eventually arrived at English court in 1675, dressed as a pistol-wielding man, naturally. That's how you're supposed to show up in England. And swiftly entered into a plot to try and replace the mistress of Charles II.
She certainly does get about, doesn't she? Charles. Does that name ring any bells? It should, that's right. The guy she's supposed to seduce is the same King of England who wanted to marry her earlier in the story.
Holy shit! Twist!
Ooh, not twist!
Clearly, he was still bewitched by her, because as soon as she became a royal mistress to her previous beau, Charles II, he began providing her with a rather generous pension and a house, if you know what I mean.
Do I? I believe it was referred to as her petit palace. So, you know, just a humble little abode.
Small thing, really, a pittance.
Now, they were both a very good match because they loved lavish parties, riding and fencing. The king didn't even mind her refusal to address him as Majesty. He also didn't mind her numerous affairs with both men and women. It was all going rather swimmingly. That is, until Hortense pushed things just a bit too far by sleeping with his 15-year-old daughter.
Well, I suppose there's being understanding and then having somebody taking the piss. Wow, that's a choice. I'll allow the affairs, darling, but please, not my daughter. The pair had attempted to keep the affair relatively quiet, but things might have hit the front page when Hortense and Anne were actually spotted publicly dueling in the middle of St. James Park, in their nightgowns, and with a group of men looking on, because all men love women dueling women with swords.
In their nightgowns.
Oh, in the nightgowns, yeah, that's just an added bonus.
She certainly knew how to cause a stir. The daughter was ultimately banished to the countryside, where she refused to leave her bed. Instead, she would just lay there, pining for Hortense and crying over a miniature portrait of her and kissing it. It's actually kind of sad.
My God, girl, snap out of it. Come on, there's other women out there. I mean, you're only going to live another 15 years max because it's the day and age, but come on.
Being banished to the countryside doesn't sound that bad. She still has her own petite palace.
Especially if you just get to lay in bed all day and your servants will deal with bringing the food and everything. I mean, girl. Hortense, however, moved straight on to her next affair and took the Prince of Monaco as her lover. Another royal was just too much for poor Charles II, and he refused to pay her pension for a few days, but quickly relented.
What a surprise. What a pushover.
This was the end of Hortense's position as the king's favourite, however.
But never fear, because here comes the comeback king. Yes, it's Armand. And yes, I had hoped to never hear of him again as well. This time, he took her to court in 1689 to demand that his wife return to Italy with him. Oh, outrage. The audacity.
Surely the man must know when he's not wanted anymore.
It's quite pitiful, isn't it? Like, move on. You're the richest man in Europe. I'm sure you can find someone else. Why are you so obsessed?
Maybe he's just never had anyone say no to him before. And apparently that's the making of a great Hallmark film.
And she also seems to have this weird talent for bewitching basically everyone. So she must have been quite something.
Well, I suppose it seems she's bewitching the elites, you know, the royals and the money men. So maybe it's just they didn't care so much about keeping, you know, to the traditions of keep it in the family. They were like, oh no, I want something different. And she seems game.
What are you supposing they do?
Well, we know what royal bloodlines are like. Bloody incestuous.
It's true.
I mean, look, even in this story, the king's mistress sleeping with his daughter.
She's just helping to diversify the gene pool.
Also, I'm impressed that they're managing all this freedom of movement, going from bloody Italy, blooming France, England. Everyone's getting everywhere and there's no even planes.
Yeah.
Thankfully, She managed to evade him once more as the master of disguise that she is and retired to the English countryside, where she eventually passed away in 1699.
However, that's not the end of Hortense's story. Oh no, no, because although she had passed on, Armand was still very much alive. And weirdly, her husband managed to continue the drama even after her death.
Ah, necromancy, it's come full circle.
I knew those skills would come in handy.
Didn't help her father, but her one-time husband.
Well, I think they're still married, so...
Obsessive Armand actually travelled all the way to miserable England, where he bought Hortense's body from her creditors, because for some reason they decided, well, she owed us money, so we'll keep her body.
Do you think that's what's been happening in England? Shouldn't joke about that. That's a really sad case, but who just keeps a body like that, for goodness sake?
Oh my god. Maybe that was it, though. Maybe the families hadn't paid enough to release the body, so like, you can have a bag of ash. Oh, all the necro jokes today. Hortense then proceeded.
No.
Well, no. Surprise twist. The dad has come back from the grave after all.
Wow.
Armand then proceeded to take Hortense with him wherever he went, with her body propped up in his carriage like a little doll you take about with you when you're a child.
Absolute loon. This is how bad Armand is. He literally made her visit all of the estates that she had despised so much during her life. And he did this for 4 months before he finally allowed her to rest. Because Armand was, and always will be, the literal worst.
I just have to wonder, was like, did he choose only 4 months? Because he was like, you know what? I am a bit of a dick. I'll put it to bed now. Wait, is it just because he was carrying about a body for 4 months that it started to naturally decompose? And he was like, oh, I can't deal with this anymore.
It was probably a little bit whiffy. He was older than her, and she was in her, like, mid-50s, I think, when she died. So he was maybe getting on a bit and was too tired to keep lugging this body around everywhere. But he had to give up at some point. I don't think he ever realised what a massive dick he was, honestly. His entire life, he was a dick.
I suppose you need a hobby when you're the richest man in Europe, after all.
It takes commitment.
But also, maybe it was just 4 months of failed necromancy, and he was like, okay, I'm clearly not cut out for it.
He just didn't have the skills of the father.
Well, the father didn't have the skills either, did he? Because he's still dead too, the lazy bugger. But you see, Hortense did have the last laugh. Because she wrote an autobiography with her sister. And you can still buy it to this day. It's called Memoirs, The Other Voice in Early Modern Europe. And funnily enough, it's written by Hortense, 1646 to 1699. And Marie, 1639 to 1715, Mancini.
You go, girl. I like how she got her truth out there in the end. F Armand. Fuck Armand so hard.
I mean, if there's ever been massive beta cuck energy, it's Armand.
It's a real shame that she died as young as she did. It sounds like she lived hard and died hard. No one's quite sure how she died. They did suggest that her imbibing of alcohol might have been a contributing factor. And there are some rumours about suicide as well. So despite how fun we've made this story sound, I think there was probably a very unhappy woman underneath all of that. She was fleeing her entire life from an abusive husband. But you can read all about that in her book.
I'm still just reveling in the fact he'd knock people's teeth out, for fuck's sake.
I love how, despite how awful he was, he never dulled her shine. She continued living life to the max. As you should. Queer, bisexual nun. You go, girl.
She definitely didn't let others dictate how she should live her life, which is a key lesson, I think, is good to remember. That no matter about all the haters, all the Armands out there, just you do you. and live your best life as much as possible while fleeing from a really creepy rich man who just wants your dead body for whatever fucking fucked up reason. Life lessons.
Indeed. And she had a very many people who loved her. And there are, remnants that have been left from a number of her affairs, as we can tell from this story. For example, there was one playwright who wrote a dedication to her at the start of one of their plays, talking about how in love they were with her. And it was another woman. So it was, they were open about it. So yeah, there was many people had a great deal of love for her. Even though she was off doing whatever she wanted, they still supported her.
Is that a portrait of her? Okay. I had to go look. I'm amazed that so many people were either falling for her and like acting as transactional relationships where we're like deeply in love with her. And I'm like, I just need to see as well an image of Hortense. Oh, she is quite. I mean, it's hard to tell because obviously classical paintings always make people look better than what they truly are. But I mean, and if the pictures are something to go by.
She was supposed to be a great beauty and potentially the most beautiful out of all of her sisters as well. She definitely wowed people and caught their attention.
Well, she did indeed. I mean, look, she made one man so obsessive he chased her to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
Conventional beauty standards would agree. Very, very attractive woman, as if the portraits are to be believed.
There we go. That's how one queer woman lived her life as fabulously as she could. Back in the 1700s.
And let us all remember to not let the Armands in our life dictate how we live our best lives. And also, if you have some spare time, brush up on some necromancy.
It would have changed this story for the better, definitely.
Well, imagine, right? If she'd done her necromancy ahead of time, she wouldn't have even been captured by Armand.
I'm glad that Armand didn't do the necromancy.
Well, that would be a very different story.
I like how you referred to him as a dictator.
If the name fits. What an interesting foray into history this was. I'm so glad Sister Iva had brought us this story so we could embrace the history of Hortense.
And now we know what we need to live up to as queer nuns ourselves.
I know. I don't think I've got Jess Bezos at my fucking door. I feel quite, I'm not feeling quite as on par.
Oh dear.
Not even got Bill Gates interested.
He's maybe a bit past it for the chasing across the world at this point. However, we hope that you've enjoyed today's story of a fabulous queer nun. But what do we have in store for next time?
The nonsense never stops here, apart from the fact it does. And actually, we only put out a show every other week, and also the fact that this show only comes out once a month. So the nonsense does stop. But for you watchers in the future, it is just a video click away. But for everyone else that's just watching this fresh, you have a month to wait until we do our next episode, which is going to be a return to one of our favourite formats ever. That's right, people. We're going back to Reddit again.
Yes, we are going to be exploring the wonderful Reddit, which is Accidental Ally, and discovering people who thought they were being hateful, but actually accidentally supported us. Hooray!
Hooray!
I cannot wait to see.
I love it when a bully always messes up and supports me. Whee!
So, until next time, if you would like to be kept updated on new videos, make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. And remember, it's also available as a podcast, so you can listen on the go from all of your favorite podcasting sites.
And feel free to keep up with the House of Nonsense on all other social media platforms if you want to see what we're getting up to when we're not just sitting behind a camera. And with all that said, after a very lovely chat, I think we can say we've done the thing.
We've done the thing.
We've done the thing!
We've done the thing.
The
We've done the thing. We've
We've
done the
done
thing.
the thing!
We've done
We've
the
done
thing.
the thing!
We've done the
We've done
thing.
the thing!
We've done
We've done the
the thing.
thing.
We're done.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Utter Nonsense. We do hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed making it. If you did enjoy, please do subscribe as new episodes are released at the start of every month.
And if you have the time and are so inclined, please do like and leave us a review on whatever platform that you are listening to this podcast on, as it really does help us reach new members out there. We do also have a Patreon that is now available, where if you subscribe to that, you can get behind-the-scenes bonus content and extra clips, all the extra nonsense that you could ever want. And if you can't wait until the next episode, we do recommend that you check out both of Sister Alaska and Sister Babushka's social medias and see what they're getting up to in between filming episodes of this utter nonsense. And just a reminder, any views and opinions expressed by anyone on this show today are completely their own and are not made on behalf of anyone else or any other organisation. And everything is meant in good faith and humour. So, hope you have a lovely rest of the day, and thank you for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode of Utter Nonsense.